I actually want to ask you to close your eyes. That's why I asked Francois just to stay up here. Because we've been singing to this King. I feel a bit broken this morning, just after the worship session. That's done everything for us. The King that restores brokenness. The King that brings the lonely into family. The King that would do whatever it takes to get you to fall in love with Him. And this morning, I feel like the first thing that I want to touch on this morning, and was not in my plan, was there's people here who haven't made that decision with Jesus before. And this morning, as I'm sharing, I want you to talk to God. Okay? So you can talk to God. He does talk to you. He has heard your prayers. He has heard when you've asked Him for help, even though you don't think He's there. So, Lord, won't you come and bring the lonely into family, God? The family that you've called us to love and look after and cherish, Lord God, because it's all about you, it's not about us. It's you and your kingdom, God, always and forever. Come have your way amongst us, in Jesus' name. Sure. So my daughter told me to tell a joke, and now I feel bad about it. If I tell a joke now, I'm going to break what God's going to do. And then I was threatened last night by people we had dinner with that they're going to clap weirdly to put me off my game, which is great because it's not my game that we're talking about this morning. It's God's game. But I think God is a God of fun. So what happens when you mix a Jehovah's Witness with an atheist? You get someone who knocks on your door for no apparent reason. See, they're the guys from last night. Always have a fan club. It helps when you preach. So what I'm talking on today is a little bit about our family. And I felt like God was pushing me to a specific part of our family. And it's about giving up your time, your life, your everything. Which is what we sang in those songs, if you didn't realize. Every time I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm talking about a God, but it feels like God's, and I think, did you feel God, who felt God's love this morning as we were doing this? Do you know why? Because He's preparing you to hear what I'm about to tell you. It's not going to be easy. Some of it's not going to be easy. Sometimes in a family, it gets messy. Sometimes in a family, it is not all roses and fun in the sun. And God is that. And He always wants us to get to that. But something's got to happen in us. And the biggest thing that's stopping you from entering everything that God has for you is you. It's me. I have to adjust what I want to do in my heart to. And even in my family. When we're trying to make right, when we've had like an argument or whatever, I can't walk away and say, I'm miffed because my wife treated me like that. No, I'm miffed because I'm miffed. I've got to deal with miffedness in my heart. Nothing to do with her. I was miff. I need to sort myself out. We can only sort ourselves out. We can help our family and lead them as best we can, but we can't force them to do. But I can force myself. I can beat this body into submission. Can't beat that one. Go to jail. We have a standing joke in our house. Divorce is out, but I've thought of murder a few times. So if you want to, what I've entitled this is, why do we do what we do? Why are you here? First one. Why are you in this church? Why did you come here today? Did you come here so you can tick a box, I am attending? Or are you here because you want to find Jesus in your heart more and more every time you come as a group of believers get together, that we grow closer and closer together every time? Is that the reason? Why do you go to community? Have you ever asked yourself these questions? Why do I love people? And do you love people? Why? Why do you open your homes and your lives to strangers? So I'll tell you why. because we're not of this world. We're of His. We don't serve our own benefits anymore. We serve a king and a kingdom that's far bigger than what we are or what we will ever be. And as we surrender to that thing, we grow more and more in love with Jesus. And we find ourselves in a better place than we've ever found ourselves before. So what I want to maybe shift today, and this is where the hard part comes in, is this. Can you remember when you got saved and you were so in love with Jesus and you said, Lord, I give you everything? Is that still true? So I had a little, when I was preparing a little bit yesterday, I had this thing like, what a good challenge it would be to say to all the guys yesterday, okay, cool. You said you'll give God everything. Just before the rugby, I want you to give away your TV. How important was rugby to you yesterday over God? Just to be obedient to God there. If God told you, not me, but I'm saying God told you, would you be able to take your TV off the wall and go and give it? So what you'll see now is I'm starting to slaughter some holy cows we have in our lives that we don't realize have become bigger things than what they actually are. Sport, careers, children. Sorry, moms and dads. But they're not the be-all and end-all of our lives. Jesus. I gave up my life when I said, I do, God, serve you. Because He gave up His life for me. He did everything He could so I could have a life and a freedom, and all the myth stuff that I ever did in my life was taken away in an instant because He paid the price. That's family. That's a Father that would go way beyond anything else that we could ever dream or imagine to come and touch our lives and touch our hearts. He's not just, oh, nice to have you at church. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have you to be pulled into this family. So I was up at 4 o'clock this morning, typical, before I preach, terrified to share God's word with you, because I know He always wants to, but my heart is always, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because if I'm not with that, so you know how this works. It's good to know the word, and I learned this yesterday. It's quite a good little thing that Patty, it's not hers, but Roland and Patty, she said, just the word will, I hope I get this right now. Let me get my book. I've got it in my book. Kylie, can you get my book there? The blue one. The blue book. That's the one. Thank you so much. I wrote it down. That's how good it was. Sorry. And I thought it was good to share with you. With just the word, you'll dry up. With just the Spirit, you'll blow up. But with both, you'll grow up. And what's such a powerful thing, because some of us will say, I'm very word-based and I'm very Spirit-based. And I don't want to be the guy that's full of the Spirit all the time and never know what the word is. It's very unbalanced. And God doesn't have an unbalanced family. He has a very easy, and He wants both of those things to fill our lives. So that's why we want to do this. We want to have both. We want to have everything in tension. We want to help you guys get there. Because in our family, we want you to be a well-balanced people that serve a well-balanced God. And there's order, and there's stuff, but there's fun. There is fun. And there's a time for everything, but there's a time right now where God's going, remember you said to give me everything. Is that still true? So when you look at all your stuff, are you saying, thank you, God, for blessing me? I want to change it this morning to you saying this. How can I use what you gave me to glorify your kingdom? My car, my house, my family, my time, my money. Because if we aren't looking at it like that, then it's for us, it's not for Him. We're building our kingdoms, we're not building His. So this morning as I share, like this has obviously cut me quite deep, and it's something I think we live in. That's probably why I'm sharing about it. We don't live in the lot, whatever, but if you know us and you've been to us, you know we always have people in our house. We've had all this type of stuff. And I want to just read a scripture quickly, and then I'm going to ask Christelle to come and share. She used to live in our little flatlet during lockdown. And just let her share. But when you hear this, I don't want you to look at us and say, well, were we great? Because we're not. I can't do this without God. I want you to see how good God is. I was just there to be a witness to see what God did in someone's life. And if we can put ourselves in that position where we are witnesses to see the goodness of God, not how well you preached or how well you did or how many people you fed. If you did it in the Spirit of God, then you're doing something well. But if you're saying, look how good I am, you're stealing from God's glory. Okay. So Hebrews 13 from 1 to 3. Let's read it from there. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect. Sorry. Before we read this, I want to just quickly recap on what John said last week. I'm building on what he said. So incredible to, I hope you all got that. And I hope you're all having coffees at least 10. And or dinners with people. And you've invited yourself or you've been invited. So if you are a very nervous person, send a WhatsApp. It's quite easy. Even a nervous person can send a WhatsApp. Please, can we have coffee? Send. Okay? Don't pick up the phone because I know that will freak you out. Don't pick up the phone. But do what we've been called to because that is part of what family is. You're not going to be in a family if you sit at home and wonder, nobody's calling me. I haven't ever been invited for a meal in this church ever. I don't think that's possible. It could be. Don't get me wrong, I think we do skip over people. And that's not what God wants us to do. But sometimes God will put you in the corner until you get out of the corner yourself. Remember, I said only you can do this. So you want to be pulled into family, but it's you holding yourself back. Okay, so at the end of this, I'm going to make a little call. Kylie came up with a beautiful little vision, and I'm going to let her share that at the end. But as she shares that and we play the song that I've asked the guys to play, I want you guys to respond in your hearts and just come forward. And that's not to me, it's to God. Okay. So as one of these things tick over in your heart, like, oh, I've made my possessions a little bit too much, or I've kept my time, or my job has come a little bit more, or my sport has become my God. Like I never miss gym, but I'll miss community. Then you'll know, that's one. Okay. So let's go to that scripture. Thanks, Rob. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Is that all the whole up to three? Huh? Okay, I'll read it. I don't know what version I've got here, but loose lip. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if they were together with them in prison, as if you were there with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as you yourselves were suffering. The beauty of this thing is it talks about hospitality. And I'm going to hit hospitality quite hard today because hospitality is about how we make people feel in our presence, in our homes, at the beach. How do we make them feel? Do they feel loved? And the reason I'm sharing this is because right now we've got 412 coming up and some of us are going to host. Are you going to treat them like they were actual angels? You might be entertaining angels. And sometimes angels bite. Sometimes they don't wash their dishes and they leave dirty stuff flying around your house. It's the hard attitude that you serve here with. So the first one is love one another, brothers and sisters. And Crystal, why don't you come out and just share a bit about just feeling loved and how that got you here, where you are today, standing in the worship team and everything.
Morning, everyone. So it's a bit difficult to sum it up in a few minutes, but I moved to Cape Town in January of 2020, all alone, didn't know anyone, new job. And I mean, I started renting from the Ashfields, didn't know them. And yeah, they just started inviting me to church. And even from the first time I came into this church, it was quite overwhelming with everyone greeting you, wanting to know who you are, where you're coming from, everything. And then, yeah, not even a full 2 months after that, it was announced lockdown. And this fear started creeping up in my heart of, you know, I'm alone, I don't have my family anywhere close to me. And it was isn't nice to think of, for months now I'm going to not see my family, or, you know, how am I going to get to know people? And then just more and more, this weird little family next door just took me in with their dog that keeps on barking even though you've been there so many times. Yeah, and from the moment I stepped in, they just loved me and accepted me for who I am. And through lockdown, in the late nights, with the brides and everyone coming in and out of the house, just how they build a relationship, and they actually became family and very near and dear to my heart. And of course, when you get to know each other, you learn stuff about each other. I mean, they didn't hide anything of theirs. They were real. I got them to know them as a family, which was, you know, that's good. And then they found out I did choir in school, and then I was, in a very friendly and encouragingly manner, forced to be on the worship team. Like, I couldn't get away from it. And even thinking back to that first nervous time in front of the mic to where I'm now, just how God also just turned my heart and showed me his love for his people, and how my heart grew to love his church even more, which was very big. And I mean, now I'm serving in Aces with Marcel as well, and you know, it's just an amazing journey. And I remember when I had to move out because getting married, need a bigger flat. It was quite a bit of a sad time as well, because it felt like I'm leaving home from the start again. But I can't put in words how much just them loving me, building relationship, and then working through hard times, and just in keeping encouraging me, how it changed my life to where I'm forever grateful. And yeah.
So it's the beauty of reaching out, eh? Like, now, for me, like, she's a daughter to us. Even though she's a sister, but she feels like a daughter. It was somebody that we had in our house, and it was this incredible privilege that she blessed us, actually. It wasn't just like, oh, we're going to have to do our godly duty and get to know. We think that. When we think that, that's when the devil comes in and says, don't do it. But if you just reach out and touch a life, you can change a life. And not you changing it at all, but it's just, you'll see God do stuff in people's hearts, and he'll lay things on your heart to challenge them in. Like, oh, you're saying, cool, you're in the worship team, I'm phoning Mark. I say, phone Mark and let him know, if you don't, I will, kind of thing. So it is, but it's the blessing of when you get to do that. So do that, okay. Look at your neighbors. Michelle, I'm just looking at her now. She's also an incredible blessing in that. If you want to learn some hospitality tricks, she has all these people staying in a little flatlet downstairs, and every time she drags them to everything. Come to church, you're going. Be that person. Reach out and touch a life, because that life might be broken and need Jesus just like we did. The reason I do what I do is because two girls, Julie and Milani, you probably know them. I came off drugs, and I was a squally, I had long hair down to here. When I got saved in this church, 25 years ago. They took me in, and you would have heard Andrew say, Milani makes the best rice and Julie makes the best soup. They didn't have much, but they pulled us in, just like we did with Crystal. And they made us part of their family. We used to sit on there. They didn't have a lounge, so we had to sit on their bed. And it was quite awkward sitting in a single mom's bed with her little boy. His name was Aiden, and me and Nolene watched videos on this little TV. But we did it, and we felt loved, and we felt part of the family. So if you want to feel part of the family, open your home up. Use the things that God gave you for His kingdom, not for yourself. Don't lock your doors and build your walls higher. Unless you just want you live in a dangerous area, then do that. So keep the guys that you bring into your house safe as well. But you know what I'm saying? Let's open our homes again. Let's give God what we said we're going to give Him. We said everything. That's everything, huh? Cool. So the second part of that scripture says, show hospitality to strangers or people that are strange to us. Don't shy away from people that aren't the same as you. Like, you won't believe this, but Russell Fraser is one of my best friends in church. I have nothing in common with the guy. He's got the driest sense of humor. He likes cars. I couldn't care about cars, really. I want them to go forward and backwards if you're stuck in a place. That's all I want to know. But he knows every part of it. He was a mechanic. He raced go-karts. His whole life was cars. But you know what? We have something in common. And he's like my dad, spiritual dad. I remember this, the first time that my earthly father passed away, and we were at hospital and in town. And so I put it on the group, oh, my dad just passed away. I'm so, like, just letting you guys know, I was with my sisters. Do you know that in 15 minutes, Russell Fraser left his office and his job to come be with me at hospital? When that thing happened to me, I realized what a dad was. My dad was a terrible dad, sorry. I mean, I don't want to dishonor him. I led him to the Lord, but he drank himself to death, basically. And because of that, I could see, like, I couldn't understand God. Like, when people told me God's your father, I was like, what? How much does he drink every night, God? You know, like does he scream and shout all the time, and is he abusive? And then you read scripture and you're like, oh, yes. If you read the Old Testament, you're like, Jesus, he is just like my dad. But he's not. He loved me into a place of this family. And these people here are my family. I love the people in this church. I want to see everybody come through healed and away from issues. But I've got issues. So you've got to deal with mine as well. Okay. Remember those suffering as if you were suffering. So I actually wanted, and I want to put two scriptures here. So Matthew 7 verse 12 and Luke 6 verse 31 say the same thing. And it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Sounds quite an easy scripture. So there's a guy, you probably all know him. He lives in Malpos in a caravan. You've seen his caravan. It's probably been at Van Strand a few times, parked there. You've seen him. And then Facebook blew up about, what are we going to do about this guy? We need to get him out of here. Like, it's just wrong. And then I wish he was here to share what he did, but Jacques and Alna, we had that storm, massive storm. And so if you go now, you can find him. He lives at the bottom of Butt Putt in that parking lot, which we call Van Riebeck Strand, but the Butt Putt one is a tall carport. And I can just, like, when he told me the story, that scripture jumped into my heart. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I was wondering, imagine that guy sitting in his little caravan with nothing. And if you know that road, there's massive houses around there. And thinking about these people, there's probably millions more things than he has. Not reaching out. But Jacques did. So after the storm, the poor guy's one window blew out. So he had put cardboard or something, and Jacques had seen it was all raining in. So Jacques went and said, can I come help you with the thing? I've got this piece of perspex in my garage and some duct tape. Let's stop that hole. And he just started befriending the guy. And then he said, so what? How do you do your washing in this weather? Like where do you hang it? So he took all the guy's washing, did his washing, and dried it at his house and took it back to him. And then they took him a meal. Now, for us, that sounds like, oh, easy, you know? But you know what? That'll change that man's life. Someone reached out. Are we reaching out? Are we reaching out to those who suffer? Eh? Are we? I want to keep remembering to smile. I don't want to seem too serious, but this is not a heavy word. This is a word that brings life for us. Because when we do that, you get stories like Christelle that you're a part of. I've got thousands of stories like that. I'm going to go through a few of them quickly. Open your homes. So when I first came into this church, I got saved out of drugs. So the natural thing to happen was, hey, we've got this drug rehab. Do you want to go and work into it? I'm like, yes. I was frothing, man. Like, all I wanted to do is see everybody saved at that stage. I was like, I'm going to go get him. Everybody. And I got them saved about 10 times every week. Who wants to give their life? Oh, I'm here this week again, God. And I was just like, okay, cool. And it was a good ground for me to see, like, I never give up on people. Some of those people today are still serving God because we had the opportunity to go and share with them. But the guy that was running the rehab at that stage became an alcoholic. Well, didn't become one. He was an alcoholic, as we found out. And he said he was drinking, and he was supposed to be looking after kids who were heroin addicts. So most of the people that were there at that one were heroin addicts. And I don't know, Phil, do you remember those days? You were around those days. So we used to take, so we had a couple of weeks ago, Vanessa Sinden, she actually came with us quite a few times. We had to drive to Rawsonville because that's where the rehab was. So we changed our community night from a Wednesday to a Friday because we looked after Danoon at the time. So we had all the Danoon people in our house in Richwood. And we would drive every Wednesday from Richwood to Rawsonville and back to go and serve these druggies. And then every now and again, take them to on a weekend because obviously the alcoholic would like a little bit of space and get drunk again on a weekend. And we'd look after his kids for free of charge. So he was very happy with the arrangement. And he would pay for the accommodation where we stayed. So we used to go and take them away in the area, and we had some fun there. Like, we had a lot of fun. You want to see God move amongst young boys and girls? Get involved with some druggies. I'll tell you what. But the point I'm trying to make here is this. So the rehab closed down because of his drinking. And so these guys had nowhere to go. So what do we have to do? Okay. Good luck. We had a two-bedroom little house. We had 5 people from a drug rehab coming to live with us. One of them was a married couple. So she wasn't on drugs, but her husband was, and he was moved out, and there was nowhere. So we asked Steve and Kathy Corkill if we could borrow their caravan so we could house another person in our driveway at the time. And then the rest of the boys slept in the rooms, one room, and then in the lounge. And then me and Nolene in our bedroom, obviously. And they robbed us blind, for drugs. And I remember sitting there going, sure, it's hard. Like, what do I do? And so when they left, we were still dealing with druggies, and then somebody asked us if we could look after this girl who had just come in. And I was like, cool, yeah, we can. And I can remember, we have this little table. We still got it. I call it the holy table because I used to spend a lot of time there in my quiet times. And once I was sitting on it, and I think Mark Davies or something came and touched me on the shoulder. I thought Jesus had reached from heaven. I got such a fun. I was like, ah! But anyway, sidetrack. So I'm sitting in my lounge, and I'm looking at my little TV. And at that stage, it was a VHS video machine. And I was thinking, how do I tie this stuff down and lock it up? Like, how do I put all my stuff away? And while I was doing that, God said, have you just made things more important than people in your life? And we do that. We don't open our homes because we don't trust people. We don't know what they'll be like around our kids. We don't know if they're going to make us feel uncomfortable. They might steal our stuff. Like that guy in the caravan, would you invite him if God told you, ask him to come stay in your house for a few nights because we might just give him some rest away from the rain? Is that okay? Was that heavy? You must have smiled again now. Cool. And then the beauty of it is this. So 1 Peter 4 verse 9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So I mentioned it earlier, like you might host the worst nightmare people from another country or another part of South Africa during 412. I'm not saying you will, but you might. Or are you going to grumble about it? You've got to be very careful of this one, because this is the one where God says, watch your mouth, because it brings cursing on other people. And if you talk about them, these people didn't do this and that and that, you've just included the people that you're telling about into your curse mode for that. So if they do bad things, clean it up and keep quiet. Thank Jesus for having them. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we've had all kinds of people. So obviously the worst were the druggies. It's nothing worse than coming home and your TV's gone. You're like, oh. Try and phone them off. Going, phoning the parents, finding out they sold it to Cash Crusaders, taking the parents to go and get your TV back. Cash Crusaders, yes, there's mine. And the parents going, hey, there's all my tools. You know, they've been selling there at Cash Crusaders for a while. The dad doesn't realize because he's not doing too much DIY anymore. So he hasn't realized his garage has been ripped off completely. But the point here is, don't stop. Some of those people that took stuff from us now serve Jesus are completely different people. Is it worth it? Yes. Take all my stuff. I don't care. Have we made stuff so important that it becomes a stumbling block for us to do the things of God? Is my work so important that, like, I know sometimes I work, like at this job right now, I work hard. Do I like go, oh, I'm just going to give it a miss now? I can't, because I'm doing it for God. I can't do that. Somebody's paying me. I agreed to get the salary they told me. I can't moan and grumble about it now. I've got to do what I'm supposed to do until God moves me onto something better. And if I moan and grumble, God will leave me until I've stopped moaning and grumbling. I have to work hard as if I'm working for God. We forget that. We keep thinking we're working for the person that pays your paycheck. Completely aren't. You're working for Jesus. He's the king. He's the one that gives us everything. So some of these things, and I'm going to tell you some cool stories now, because that was quite heavy, and you guys all seem, so you want some nice stories now. So I have friends all over the world because of hosting. I've got friends in Brazil. I've been to Brazil because of that. I've got friends in Namibia that are basically our family. We hosted a family for 3 months. They wanted to come see Josh Chen. They ended up being one of our incredible, another huge gift to us and us to them. It was like this. Sometimes God puts people in your life that just changes your projection on where you go, and they hold you accountable in the things you do in God. And should you really do that? And it's great for you because you want to do everything and you want to hear what God wants for you. So we've got friends in Namibia. We've got friends in America. Every single one of these countries I mentioned here, we host them in our home first. Because we hosted people in America, they asked us to come and share in their church. They paid for us to go. All of us, not just me, my whole family. Like, and I didn't do it. We don't do it for that. But if people don't get to know you, or even you open your home or have people in, how will they know the gift that God's put in you? You can't hide your gift behind a wall at your house. Invite people in. Let God use the gift that He's put inside you. That's what family does. Is that okay? Cool. How long am I going? Almost done. Cool. So, if you want to be a leader, be hospitable. It's one of the criteria in leadership in 1 Timothy. So it says one of the requirements is be hospitable. Don't do it just to be a leader, please. Do it because Jesus asked you. Jesus wants us to open up our homes. People won't know what we like until they join us in our houses. People won't know the good, the bad, and the ugly about Dylan and Olene unless they live right there. They know when we shout at Kylie. Like, we could ask Estelle, sorry, man, did you hear us? And she's like, oh, she would never lie. She would like, like, we were like, ah, you don't. And then we would apologize and be like, oh, sorry, Crystal. Forgot you. And Reynold stays there now. I'm sure he also hears everything that goes on in our house. But it's beautiful because we're not supposed to hide away from the world. I can't be this thing at church on Sunday and a completely different person in my house. Because that's not family. That's just confusing. That's a lie, actually. I can't be two different people. We can't serve both God and money. Can't. It's all God's. So how's it? See you at the back. So good to see you guys. I want Kylie to come up and share just a picture that she had. And remember, I challenged you in the beginning to say, if God's done something in your heart now, just come forward. I don't care how it looks, but I felt like God wanted you to just respond to Him. So nobody's going to come pray for you. Just if you need to start committing more of your, so where you've taken ownership of your stuff again, give it back to God again. Where you've closed your doors of your house, ask God to help you open them again. Because this church is made up of living stones, each one of us. And we need every single person here. Nobody more than the other. We are a family. We don't care what you've been through. We've all been through it. But we want to be there to help you through it. We don't want to just hear about stuff happening. We want to hear about how God's doing in your life. And if you need help, that you tell us. Because we want to bring the lonely into family. Come, Kylie.
So yesterday I got a picture of this little girl, and she was sitting with Jesus, and Jesus was like almost like telling her all these stories about like all the things he's done and all the sacrifices he's made for us, and the little girl was just in such like awe of like all the incredible things. It was like if my dad were to be reading me stories, I'd be like, wow, that's awesome, like that kind of. Yeah, and so basically, I felt that that should be us. We should always be in such awe and wonder of the incredible things that God has done for us, and always just like an awe of the sacrifice that He made for our sins, because He died for us. Like, that's pretty incredible. So, yeah, thank
you. So before we move on to what, so Kylie actually had a song that came with that. So I've actually asked the guys to just put it on after this. But first of all, I asked you in the beginning of this thing. I want to invite you into God's family if you aren't there. And as you heard my daughter share, He's paid the ultimate price for us to walk in the freedom that we can walk in, where we've seen people's lives changed. But it starts with Him and our surrender to Him. We will still love you no matter what, but if you want your life to count for the things of God, you're going to have to make a choice today and say, yes, that's me. Can you pray for me? Okay, so why don't we all close our eyes quickly? And then if you felt God, so you would know this now, but your heart's starting to beat faster. It's probably been beating fast for a bit now. And you know right now that God is calling you into His family. And He wants to see you healed, restored, and put into a family like this. If that's you right now, would you just put up your hand quickly so I can see you and I want to pray with you? Anyone? If God's calling you today to come and surrender your heart to Him, if that's you, just put up your hand quick. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Cool. So you can open your eyes quick. And then, Chad, did we have that song? Okay, would you... put it on. And as you listen to the song, I want to pray that you would respond to Jesus. I'm actually going to respond to Jesus this morning just because I have picked up some of my stuff and I have made some choices where I want to go, God, I'll give you everything back again. So if you want to do that this morning, commit that to God and then just come to the front as the song plays and let God minister to you, okay? And we will stand and just make it easier for you to respond.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death acclaimed its victory. The King of love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atone. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared?
Yes, Lord, you're worthy, God. Lord, thank you that we serve an almighty God, Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you for your love that you've shown us this morning, God. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts, Lord, as Dylan's even shared, God, that we can respond to you, Jesus, out of this and open our hearts up, Lord, even more than our homes and our stuff, God. Our hearts are open to you, Jesus. This morning, Lord, we respond to you and say we love you and that we are in, God. We are so in for anything of you, Jesus. Because you are worthy, Lord, and you paid the ultimate price. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, even as the Lord is working in your heart as we've responded to him, if you feel to stay in that place, man, go for it. But for the rest of us, I really... We're probably going to close here, but encourage us as we go out to remember what Dylan shared. Man, if you forgot what he shared, ask him. But really, this is power, and even opening up our lives to people, man, there is an amazing town of Malkbosat here, and we're going to go out of these doors, and we're going to be faced with many, many people, but how are we responding to them out of love and how Jesus would, so... I want to have James just pray for us as we end off.
Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you that this is your house, Lord. And you looked at us, you looked at your house today, and you saw that we needed to be shown more about hosting. We needed to be shown more about hospitality. We need to be shown the fruit of hospitality, Lord. And this is your house, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, you are our helper, and we ask you, will you help us to be those that are loving and hospitable to the world out there, Lord. Especially with the 4/12 conference coming up, Lord, help us to be faithful with that first. But Lord, we want to show you our love by the way we love you. Lord, help us to realize that we're not here to be served. We are here to serve the people and to serve you. And so, Holy Spirit, we trust you that by faith, Lord God, we may do these things and show you our love for you by our actions. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go and show Jesus our love for him, guys, by the action.